It's supposed to be on. Okay.
Hello, hello. Okay, there. I'd like to call to order the November 18 Design Review Board meeting of the City of Kirkland. Staff, can we do a roll call, please?
Randall Brand.
Present.
Amanda Bredlow. Carlos Castaneda.
Present.
Supriya Kelkar.
Present.
Shannon Merkel.
Present.
Tyler Smith and Amy Tarse.
Present.
Thanks.
Before I continue, let me just read the rules for engagement tonight. Please make, I'm sorry. If there are, okay, so you can tell I'm reading off this and, please silence all cell phones before we begin the meeting. For those in person, please clearly print your name, address, and email address on the sign-in sheet at the entrance if you plan on speaking regarding an item. When speaking in person or online, please speak loud and clear into the microphone. Before providing public comment, please clearly state your name and email address for the audio record. Each person speaking will have 3 minutes to comment. For all projects, please do not interrupt the meeting and show respect for all sides of an issue. Thank you. So now I'd like to announce the agenda for tonight. We don't have any reading or approval of minutes. So the only agenda item for tonight is the Central Peak Mixed Use Project, DRV 24-00649. Before we have the applicant and staff do the presentation, I'd like to invite members of the audience who have anything to address the Design Review Board tonight outside of the agenda item. Do we have anyone online or in the room? For those people online who wants to address the DRB, please raise your hand. Okay, it appears that there's no one. I would like to invite staff to make their presentation for tonight's agenda item.
All right, thank you very much. Tony Levitt representing the Planning Department. Get our presentation here in just a second. Okay. That was good. I can use this, right? Thank you. All right. Again, we are here to discuss the Central Peak Mixed-Use Project. Tonight, we are continuing the October 21st Design Response Conference for this project to discuss the items that the board requested at that meeting. The board will need to review the applicant's responses to those items and determine if the items meet the requirements of the applicable design guidelines. Additionally, one of the other goals is for staff has provided an overview of the applicable design guidelines for each item as part of the staff memo that was sent out before the meeting. And finally, the board will need to receive any public testimony prior to their deliberation for the project. Just a quick reminder of the process regarding the DRB. So the DRB's review is to ensure that the project complies with all applicable design guidelines as outlined in the design guidelines for pedestrian-oriented business districts. Additionally, the board reviews the project for compliance with zoning regulations that require DRB approval. The next step will be actually the SEPA review for the project that is currently ongoing. The SEPA determination will look at the project's traffic impacts and design and operation of the alley.
Again, this review is ongoing and will be issued prior to the issuance of the DRB's decision. Finally, staff will review the building permits for the project for compliance with applicable zoning regulations and the DRB's decision when the applicant applies for that at a later date. So again, the property is located at 177 Central Way and currently contains a single-story U.S. Bank building. The property has frontage along Central Way. An unimproved alley exists to the west of the subject property, currently part of the Lake and Central parking lot, and an improved alley to the south of the subject property. Again, the applicant is proposing to construct a four-story mixed-use project with 26 residential units and around 3,396 square feet of retail space. Parking is proposed within structured parking. Vehicle access to the property is from Central Way. That access goes to the below-grade residential parking garage, and the alley to the west of the building will go to a at-grade retail and guest parking garage. So during my presentation tonight, I will provide an overview of the board's discussion from the previous meeting and the items that the board requested from the applicant. The applicant will then provide the responses to those requested items as part of their presentation. So at that last meeting, the board was very receptive of the building's overall massing and design. The board felt that the project adequately addressed vertical modulation with strong vertical plaza elements that helped to break up the central way facade. In the back, they felt that the vertical bays along the south alley facade helped to reduce the perceived mass, and also the use of materials helped to do that as well. Horizontal modulation was achieved with pedestrian elements at the ground floor, the Central Way upper story setback, and the proposed roof treatments. The board also looked at the use of decks, the terrace level, and plazas as beneficial architectural elements. And they also liked the proposed residential scaled window placements that the applicant was using on the building. Additionally, the board reviewed the portion of the building that is cantilevered over the Central Way sidewalk to ensure it complies with the applicable code and design guideline requirements. The one item that the board did request from the applicant was that they explore different design techniques to further enhance the treatment of the blank wall along the alley and the south side of the, the east side of the building. In terms of pedestrian-oriented elements, the board discussed the design of the Central Way sidewalk, including seating and landscaping elements, the street level storefront design, the terrace level activation, and the location and design of the central and northwest plazas. After their discussion, the board requested the applicant to address the following items. They requested further evaluation of the design of the plazas to enhance pedestrian engagement and activity. Specifically in the northwest plaza, the board requested the applicant look at removal of the ramps and steps to maximize the usable space for amenities. They also asked the applicant to provide detailed plans for the Central Plaza, Northwest Plaza, and Central Way sidewalk, including design features such as landscaping, seating, and paving materials. Additionally, the board requested plans and sections for the overhead weather protection along Central Way and to confirm compliance with the zoning requirements. And finally, they asked the applicant to provide detailed plans for the residential lobby and trash collection area within the building. In relation to site landscaping, the board reviewed the plans for the landscaping within the Central Way terrace level, within the rooftop amenity space, and the street level plaza areas. The only comments from the board regarding open space and landscaping were in regard to planting details for the central and northwest plaza areas. The board reviewed the applicant's proposed materials and colors, including the material board over there, and also the additional material board the applicant has provided tonight. So the original one is on the left. Overall, the board liked the proposed color scheme, but requested the applicant look at adding additional accent colors to the building facades that would help to create additional visual interest. As allowed by the zoning code, the applicant was requesting approval for a reduction in the average depth for the street level uses. The code requires an average depth of 30 feet, and the applicant is requesting a reduction to 25 feet. The code requires the applicant demonstrate that the requirement is not feasible given the configuration of existing or proposed improvements and that the design of the retail frontage will maximize visual interest. At the previous meeting, the board considered the request and concluded that the proposal meets the code requirement for a reduction due to the relative narrowness of the lot and the fact that the design of the retail frontage is maximizing visual interest along the frontage. In regard to the retail lobby, the board approved of the proposed location and size, but did request that the applicant submit detailed plans for the interior lobby. As you may recall, the code allows for flexibility in allowing these retail lobbies, residential lobbies, as long as they don't over, basically they fit in with the context of the overall site. The board also reviewed the proposed rooftop common room and determined that it met the applicable design requirements, including glazing, size, and setback requirements. Based on the information submitted by the applicant, the board also determined there would be no view impacts from the proposed common room. Based on this, the board was in favor of approving the proposed common room. The additional item that they talked about was the central way upper story setback. The applicant's proposal included building square footage that extends 5 feet into that required setback. The building area, approximately 1,029 square feet, is located on residential level 4. The code allows a reduction of the setback if the building area proposed within the setback is offset by a public open space at the street level. At the previous meeting, the board reviewed the proposed central plaza being used to offset the reduction and requested the applicant submit detailed plans for the plaza, including seating, paving, and landscaping details. But in general, they were in favor of the reduction. The final item that the board looked at the previous meeting were the sidewalk design, some of the sidewalk elements, including seating and landscaping, and the overhead weather protection. The board liked the overall sidewalk design, but requested the applicant submit weather protection plans, including section drawings, and a coverage plan that shows compliance with the zoning code requirements. As far as public comments are concerned, to date, we have received 2 emails that were included with your meeting packet, and we had 4 people testify at the previous meeting. Issues raised by the commenters included overall height and mass of the proposed building, the impact of the alley as it relates to the Park Lane businesses to the north of the alley, and a concern about ramps in the Northwest Plaza. 3 of the commenters at the previous meeting did support the overall design of the project. So tonight, that concludes my summary of the previous meeting and the items requested by the board. As far as actions or items are concerned, the board will need to review and respond to the applicant's revised plans. These items should be reviewed for compliance with the applicable design guidelines that I have outlined in the staff memo. You will need to consider any additional public comments received tonight. And finally, if the board determines that all issues have been adequately addressed, you can move to approve the project. If the board determines there are still outstanding items that need to be addressed further, you can continue the meeting to a future date and identify those specific items that you would like the applicant to address. And with that, that concludes my presentation. Are there any questions?
Thank you, Tony. We really appreciate our little cheat sheet.
Okay.
We're getting better every time you come here. It's like we really appreciate how thoughtful your staff report is, and also just the way that staff supports us in this endeavor. So I'd like to ask the DRB members, anyone has questions for staff? No? I do.
Okay.
So can you clarify the standard or criteria for granting the reduction in the step back? I saw a criteria that said that the plaza has to be open to the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain how that applies? And also in relation to that, is it like a 1-for-1 reduction?
No. So in this case, so what they do is you take the square footage, which is around 1,029. Actually, back to that slide. So the square footage is around 1,029, and what they get to do per the code, it's kind of a it reads kind of interesting, but if they it is open multiple levels, they get to count to those three levels. So it's I believe it's around 400 and something square feet is the actual plaza, but then they get to, because it is open to the sky, they get to count the second and third level. So that's where they get the compliance with the 12,000 square foot number.
Okay, great. Thank
I'm
you.
sorry, 1,200 square foot number, not
Yes,
12,000.
sure. Thank you. Process-wise, you mentioned that you're still reviewing the trash collection for SEPA. I'm assuming it's some off-site mitigation requirement.
Yeah, so actually we had a meeting today with some of the business owners on the other side of Park Lane. The applicant probably can talk about a little bit more, but basically what we're looking at is because right now there's dumpsters that basically hang out in the alley that kind of block the alley, and the way around some of those dumpsters is for people to go onto this subject property because it's an open parking lot. To get around some of the issues. So our public works department and the applicant have been working with some of the business owners down there to come up with a plan. We met with them today to kind of go through some of the ideas that we have regarding the trash and dumpster locations. And it basically involves kind of them looking to reduce the size of their dumpsters so they could be movable. And put them in a little alcove that the applicant is proposing as part of their project. And then additionally, the other piece of that is to look at the operations of the alley and how cars move in and out of it and how delivery trucks move through there and garbage trucks and all that stuff. So those are some of the issues that we're still working through with the applicants and the neighboring property owners.
And so, what are the chances that this project may have to come back because whatever the final solution is have, entailed changes to the site plan?
I mean, I'm not going to dismiss that that's not a possibility, but I think the applicant has worked closely enough with our public works department to determine that they probably won't be anything that impacts the design of their building. It would be more of things that will happen in the alley, design of locations, bollards, things like that, to kind of to help with the operations of the alley. But I think they've pretty much, again, I'm not going to say it's not a possibility, but I think they've got a pretty good plan in place to kind of look at that. So,
Great. Thank you.
yeah, no problem.
So next we'd like to have members of what is it, audience or the applicant? Okay, we'll have the applicant go next. You're more than welcome to do your presentation.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Meredith Everest, and I'm with Bayless Architects. And I'm here presenting with my colleagues at Bayless Architects, Juan Garcini in the audience, and Rick Maxim online. Also here with the owner developer, Nick Tosti, and Dan Wachler with Central Peak LLC and the Cordillera Group. And then in addition, we have our landscape architect, Josh Wilcox with Brumbaugh and Associates. So we have a brief presentation and then we'll be available to answer questions. Okay, so I was going to start talking about the building color and the blank wall. We were asked to consider an accent color at the last meeting. Our original design included a field of gray tones that you see in the, I guess, your left-hand side corner of that material board. Excuse me. And so the gray tone variation creates a bit of visual texture. But what we did was we did introduce a blue panel to the gray palette, which you see on the also the bottom left of the second board. And so we approached that with a very judicious approach to integrating that color into the palette. So it's a very thoughtful and yet gets that pop of color that was requested. So we think that was a successful approach. And then on the alley and the east side of the building, we've refined that design with these vertically oriented panels. We acknowledge that the alley is an alley. It's an active and very well used alley. There will be delivery trucks, trash containers, that sort of thing. So we wanted to keep in mind that utility and propose materials that are durable. So we've maintained the vertical board concrete, board formed concrete, and added in some panels that have some color to them. And those are what you see on the far right hand side. So giving it that kind of playful and vibrant approach. So wanting to tap into that visual interest. And in general, we'll also give you some overviews of the plaza, and that will be done by Josh with the landscape architect.
Good evening, y'all. I'm Josh Wilcox with Brumbaugh Associates. I'm going to talk a little bit about the changes we've made to the plaza design since our last meeting. Can I control the slides, or is it next slide? Is it arrow keys? Oh, I got it. I got it. Okay. So overall plan here, I think we're probably all oriented, but if you see kind of on the left-hand side, there's a number two. We're going to call that the West retail space, and then the plaza that we were discussing earlier with the upper level setbacks is that number six kind of in the middle on the right. So starting with this Northwest plaza space, the main piece of feedback that came from multiple places in the last meeting was to get rid of the ramp and the stairs and open it up and let it be a really more useful space. So what we've done that, we've shifted that grade transition to be in the building. And so this entire plaza is the same level as the sidewalk, and it's flush with the sidewalk. So easily accessible. It has the same overhead light fixture that we've talked about. It has a planter on the west side of it. We've adjusted this planter a little bit to try and help the plaza not feel quite so closed off, but still provide some amount of protection from the alley that's right there. excuse me. And then we've also made some tweaks to the seating in this plaza. So before we had, I think we had a lot less seating because we had a lot less space. And this one though, we've got more seating and it's movable. So it's a lot easier to activate the space. There's an ability to kind of go in there and sit and adjust things as you need to for your space. And then on the south end, the last thing I'll point out is we still have a connection to the garage for that pedestrian access from the retail parking. And we'll talk about the main plaza on the north side of the building. So the main comment we received on this was to think about how we could adjust the seating to make this space more activated. So we've switched this also to movable seating. So there's that ability to move things around as you need them to be. And we've also made a little bit of tweaks to kind of some of the planter outlines. So those are kind of the large scale design changes we've made. I'll talk a little bit about the planting and the hardscape changes that are detail that's provided in these plans. So these are both, we wanted to keep these fairly simple from a hardscape standpoint so that there's, so that it doesn't distract from the streetscape and it kind of meshes with the surrounding properties. So we've got scored concrete in a simple pattern with a combination of variations of sandblasting or top cast finish to them for a kind of nice feel to it. And that's the case for both of these plazas. All right. For both of these plazas as well, we have for the planting, we have a mix of evergreens and perennials. And in the west plaza, we have some softer grasses. But because this particular plaza is on the north side of the building, we're not going to get a lot of sunlight in it. So you're seeing a lot more shade plants, things that can tolerate that sort of condition. For the furniture in both of these plazas, we have metal planters And we have movable seating. That's kind of a it's the what you're seeing is a landscape forms piece that's it's very durable. It works well in these sorts of spaces. And this is the more expanded planting palette that we can go into detail if we want to. But I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so that was it for our presentation. We are available to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Members of the DRB, you have questions for the applicant?
I can start.
Okay.
Perfect.
Carlos.
Hello.
Hello.
I have some questions regarding the landscaping. Would you be able to present an updated landscaping plan with the species selections indicated in the plans?
This is what we have in the packet. Are you looking for additional detail in terms of
container
sizes?
For the landscaping, I believe that one of the requirements is to provide detailed landscaping plan, and it's part of the DRB approval. So I saw this, but it doesn't really indicate which species are going to be provided. It has an overall, but I was looking for specific landscaping plans.
Okay, you were looking for more planting plan type.
Well, the landscaping with, yeah, all the species selections and where they are located. And I also saw that for the main plaza, there were some revisions that your team did in terms of just the landscaping area. I think that now there's a tree which has kind of like a square. It used to be a rectangular piece that went all the way to the building. Do you have an updated plan of all that?
These are the updated plans. We don't have detailed planting plans, specifically planting plans. This is the detail that we've brought.
Okay.
I do have that. I just don't have that this evening.
Okay. For the planted edge, I think this is kind of like the plaza that is next to the driveway that connects to the retail garage. What is the material of the planter and what's the height? Just kind of like in terms of overall design, what kind of finishes? Height?
Those are metal planters. And I'm trying to see if the height is that bottom label. It talks about it's a steel planter, 24-inch height for both of those. They're different widths, but they're...
Is it steel unfinished or is it...
No, it's a powder-coated steel. I don't know if I can zoom in here, but there are images in that central picture in the hardscape column.
Okay. What species are intended to be planted in these areas?
So we have a mix of the mix of grasses and this is a small screen. So we have a mix of dogwood. There's a Kelsey dogwood that's kind of a red twig. There's that's switchgrass and also tufted hair grass. The intent is to provide kind of a soft edge to it. Mm. There's also pops of perennial color. Mm-hmm. White swan is an echinacea. So pops of color that will add to that. And then filling in between that, a common thyme ground cover.
Okay. And for the street planter pots, are those going to be steel or are those going to be made out of other material?
Those are also steel.
Are they round or square?
They are round, and I believe there's a label on here too. They're 30-inch height metal plant, metal
and
pots.
What's the diameter of the pot?
I believe it's also 30 inches, yeah.
30 inches?
30 inches in diameter, yeah.
Okay. For the seating that it's there, is it intended to be fixed or loose seating?
No, it is movable seating.
And is the applicant intending to keep it there 24/7, or is it going to get secured somewhere, and then the next day they are going to put it back. I just want to understand if there's some certainty that the seating is going to remain there every day.
Yeah, there's a so this particular seating is heavier than it looks. It is harder for it to walk off. However, typically a lot of the time what we see is like a cable lock that kind of ensures that these don't just disappear. But
Okay.
they are quite sturdy.
For the landscaping that is on the sidewalk area that is outside of the property line, is the applicant responsible for that, or is the city responsible for providing the green areas and the trees that are there?
The applicant is, correct me if that's incorrect, but we've been planning to be responsible for that.
And what type of trees are you specifying there?
Those are honey locust in the streetscape. I believe that's the same tree that's in the medians. It is on Kirkland's street tree list. It's a thornless. I'm blanking on the name of the exact cultivar. But it is a honey locust tree.
Okay. And are these intended to be young trees or mature? What kind? I'm just trying to get an understanding of the size of the tree that is gonna be installed there.
They would typically be, I thought I had that labeled on here too. They would typically be like a 2.5 or 3 inch caliber. So you're looking for like a 12 to 14 foot tree that would grow to a 40 or 50 foot.
Okay. And so you have the residential area that is unconnected to the Central Way. On this image that you have on the right side of the residential garage, there's a green square. What is the planting selection for that area?
That would be very similar to the plaza on the north side. It's a similar condition, shade, deep shade. So that would be like a soft mahonia, the elegans hosta, maybe a creeping mahonia, different types of more native shade plants.
And I'm guessing that the same seating selection is going to be used or intended to be used for the main plaza.
That is the intent, yes.
Okay. That's all that I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carla. Next.
Thank you. I'll go next. I appreciate that description while you're there. I just would like to better understand which items in your planting palette represent the evergreen plantings.
That would be the, let's see. You want me to look through the whole palette or
Oh,
specific?
just for the two plazas, actually.
Okay.
I'm just curious
Okay.
what will remain for the winter.
There isn't any evergreen shown in our West Plaza currently. The winter interest comes more from like the red twig. And then the East Plaza, we have the mahonias, and I believe that is it.
Okay, thank you so much. And then I do have a question about the blank wall treatment. Should we keep one man standing and ask all landscaping while he's up, or no?
I think what we usually do is have each DRB member
Okay.
their turn. So I
Okay.
guess we'll just have to ask the applicants to take turns.
Great. Thanks, Meredith, for
No
standing. I
problem.
appreciate that. I'm just wondering if you could walk us through the new introduction of color to the palette, which was in response to our comments. Thank you for that. I'm wondering if you can talk through, I wonder if this was like concept driven, or what were the drivers around the colors you chose?
Well, we definitely wanted to maintain the design concept, which is vertical panels in combination with this horizontality of the expression of the entire building. And so the horizontality of the board formed concrete We felt that interplay and bringing a little sparkles to the alley with the pops of color could be kind of whimsical and fun. In the initial proposal, we had just the openings into the garage. So during the day, those would be a kind of a darker contrast, and then at night, those would be illuminated. And so we felt that something during the daytime exclusively could also bring light to the alley. And so that's why we're proposing these kind of bright colors. And then I'll just, I believe one of our designers is on the line. I don't know if he can be available to participate if he wants to chime in, because he can comment as well on that. Rick Maxson.
What's his name?
Rick Maxson.
Hello, it's Rick Maxson, Bayless Architects. Can y'all hear me?
Yes. Hi, Rick. Yes. Thank you.
Hi. Yeah, I just, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer.
Thank you. So I guess just one more point of clarification. Previously, those were covered with a grating, right? And then you were talking about the glow kind of coming through in the evening, but to introduce the color during the daytime, these have now become solid panels where the color occurs. Is that true?
So the right. Original openings with the grating, those still are part of the palette. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that have been the color.
So we didn't reduce the amount of opening.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah, Rick, will you correct me if I'm wrong on that?
No, yeah, that's correct. We kept the openings, just tried to strengthen the overall pattern with these additional panels with color so that we have, so we've added color to the pattern.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's it.
Thank you, Shannon. Randall?
I have no questions at this time.
Rhea?
All right, since we're talking about these colors, can you clarify? I'm just looking at the graphic that's on the screen right now. So the colored panels are on the south side, but there are white panels on the east side?
That's correct, yes.
And what was the reasoning for that?
Yeah, Rick, do you want to speak to?
It was a feeling that on that side of the building, in order to keep a more consistent palette, we decided that the bright colors would be a bit out of character with the rest of the design on that side. And so we wanted to keep it a little more subdued to go around, to just be more compatible with the rest of the building. And then on the upper walls, we've added, in addition to the blue accent color, we've mixed in a green color as well to go with this variegated scheme, the grays. So we felt that that was more appropriate on this side of the building, whereas when you turn around into the alley, it's much more sort of its own thing because it's confined by the alley. And I think it sort of was more appropriate in that location to add a lot of color, a lot of bright colors that can be sort of on their own there. And they, you know, with the big long gray wall, I think we thought it would help with the treatment there. I hope that answers your question.
What's the width of these panels?
They are 8 inches wide.
8 inches wide by how long are these slivers?
Well, they're roughly, if you look at the east wall, those are all 10 feet tall. And so The ones below that are roughly the same. And along the alley, they're a little shorter, I think. And then alley has a little bit of grade difference, so we adjusted length there to correspond to that.
And then on the your cement siding panels up above, what's the width of that? Are those about the same or?
Right, so we're all around the building. We have the horizontal trim, that's this metal channel shape. And between those trims is 10 feet roughly. They're all about 10 feet tall.
And the width,
Yeah.
Rick, the
The width of the exit panels are all 8 inches as well. And then the gray varied colors, those are random widths, varying from 1 foot to 2 feet to, I think there are probably some that are 3 feet as well, and then odd sizes to fill in between windows, etc.
I see that the blue accent is 8 inches pretty much everywhere, right? I mean, the other
Right.
panels are wider than the
Right. Yeah.
gray.
So the gray panels are, we kept a similar pattern that we had, which was random widths, unequal widths, interspersed.
Okay. My next question was about, in the change graphics, you talk about updated fenestration. Can you talk a little bit about what that is?
Sure. I think it's most evident on this side of the building where we've basically increased the size of several of the windows on that west elevation.
So that's only on the west elevation, not on the north?
Primarily, Rick, was there anything on the north that changed dramatically?
I don't think we adjusted anything on the north from the last presentation. I think it's all the same. I think there were some doors added on the west, and I think on the upper level we've added some larger doors and maybe increased some of the glazing, but along the north facade I believe it's about the same as what we had previously. Along the north. Did I say the north?
Other comment, question rather, is on the in that Northwest Plaza, there it talks about a lighting fixture, but I didn't see it anywhere in the graphics. What is it?
It's easiest to see it in the previous package. We have a lighting plan in that package, and it show there's a it's not a cut sheet, but there's some imagery of that light fixture. It's a pendant fixture that's square in shape, as kind of the outline of it you see on the landscape plan as far as the size of it. Oops, the dashed line there.
Yeah, I saw it looked like a pretty sizable luminaire. I just couldn't figure out where it was called out or how it looked because is it hanging from the ceiling?
It is, yes. Think I have it in here. Oh, there we go. So the number one there, that's what it looks like.
Are these clouds that come down?
It's not a cloud, it's more of a wireframe.
Oh, okay. But it's one single long.
That's correct, yes. With downlight only.
Think those are all the questions I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Supriya.
Have a one comment. This is Amanda Bredlow on the line.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
Hi. Yeah, so I love that the northwest corner has been leveled out, and that was taken into consideration from the feedback from the last meeting. I did notice that the planters on page one are like round, and then the one close up view is on page seven are square. I don't know if that's a consideration, but I know that Carlos was asking about that before. So maybe I have a different page seven than you do. I'm looking at the PDF meeting packet.
Yeah, I have a lot of extra things in here, so
page, no worries. This is a five, seven.
Oh, oops.
The top middle image, it says. And I know Carlos was asking about what shape the planters were, so I'm not sure if that's a design consideration, but.
Yeah, that's a good question. They were square in some of our original drawings, and I think I missed updating that image. So,
okay, no worries. So they should be round then, like on the front cover. Okay,
that's correct.
That's all the comments I had. Thanks.
Thank you, Amanda. Do you have any perspective drawings that shows the residential lobby with the plaza in front of it?
Yes, in the original packet. Excuse me. Okay, this is the image of the plaza, the central plaza, and that's the retail entrance, which is the primary entrance where it says Cafe 177, and then the residential entrance is to the east of that.
Mm-hmm. How much of this has changed from? The reason why I ask is I thought that your landscape plan shows a planter for the tree between the retail entrance and the lobby that's more detached from the building wall. And this one seems to show that that planter is actually bigger and connects to the wall of the building.
Yeah, I believe this was modified in response to the last meeting to bring some vibrancy to that lot or to that plaza area. But yeah, Josh.
Yeah, we felt the planter connecting to the building felt like it bisected the plaza a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
So detaching it from the building helped the space to feel larger and feel like one larger space.
Mm-hmm. And as far as, you know, I mean, obviously this is just representational, but your trees, are they going to be that small?
No.
Okay, so at a mature height, how big will those trees be?
So these are vine maples that we have proposed there. They mature height, they can top out around 20 feet. They're not large trees, but they will be larger than that 4 or 5 foot that you're seeing.
And are these planters over the garage? Is that or?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so that's why you can't plant bigger trees.
We also have issues with this being a deep shade plaza, and it's small enough that there's not a lot of trees we can put in it that would be larger that wouldn't start to grow into the building. So that's really where that came from. We do have planting depth to work with different sizes of trees.
I see. So, as far as your paving, your decision for your paving of the plaza, you kind of talked about just keeping it simple. And can you clarify again what type of texture you're proposing? Because I saw two different patterns. And I don't know if you can pull up your landscape plan.
Yes, there are two. It's right at the beginning. Well, I'll let you then. Yeah, there are two different textures. Three if you count just the normal sidewalk paving. Normal sidewalk paving will be a broom finish concrete. And then we have a field texture, which is a light sandblast with I believe it's a 2 foot by 2 foot score pattern. And then the edge that you're seeing, that kind of frame, would be a medium sandblast. So you'd have more exposed aggregate, and stand out as kind of a subtle border around that.
So that's for the Northwest, and then how about the Central Plaza?
They're the same approach for both plazas. So you have the same kind of field of the light sandblast with the score pattern and the frame with the medium sandblast.
So the frame basically delineates the edge of the sidewalk from the plaza.
Yes, visually at least.
So, as far as your decision to go with all movable furniture, have you considered maybe at least for the residential lobby, having more like a permanent bench, like for people maybe meeting friends and their friends waiting outside for them, versus what I'm seeing here, these movable furniture, they probably are good for the retail, and you could use it potentially for a restaurant or something, coffee shop. But as far as with the residential lobby, it might be nice to have some sort of permanent seating.
Yeah, we did have a bench on the eastern side of the plaza here for quite a while. We ultimately removed it just because we were concerned it was going to feel a little bit cramped in that corridor there. And if we push the planter further in, we start to run into problems with being able to get the tree to fit in there as well. We could add one back in. There could be a bench there. That was the concern, though, was it started to feel a little cramped.
Is there any permanent seating on the northwest corner? Like any benches or anything?
It is also movable. I would probably still call it permanent in the sense that it should be there, but it's not fixed in place.
So it's a property of the tenants, or is it property of the
The furniture in the plaza,
residential build?
the retail plaza.
Site furniture. So is
We say specifically? It could be either. It could be either.
okay.
Okay.
Bike lanes. I noticed there are bike lanes on Central Way. Do you have any bike racks?
We do have bike parking in the retail garage. There is not any on the streetscape. There's possibly space for some. We looked at placing some in either of the plaza spaces, and again, it didn't feel like a smart move for the size of the plazas.
As far as with your lighting, I know we've looked at the alley and that Northwest Plaza. Can you just remind us again about the lighting for the rest of your Central Way facade and the alley?
Something since you found it.
Yeah, so what you see here is the street level lighting plan. As we mentioned, in that northwest area, we have the pendant fixture. We're proposing decorative sconces along the frontage at each pilaster, essentially, of the building. That's the item number two, but it marches across the facade there. We have some kind of specialty lighting at the primary retail entry. That's the item number four, which we have a large view of that. And some down lights where we have some circulation. We do have some specialty fixtures that we're looking at the garage entries. That's item number five. And then some sconces, up lights and down lights in the alley side. And so I think as I showed earlier, this is the kind of decorative fixture that would highlight the retail entry.
Okay.
And then on the alley side, this is that illustration of illumination from the garage, but also the up light, down light combination.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Speaking of those little slits in the walls, for the parts that are painted, the bright colors, what is that? Is that some sort of a metal panel, or I mean, how would you paint the concrete?
So yeah, it's an inlay, so it's an integral color fiber cement panel.
Oh, okay, all right. So in the staff report, it talks about for the blank walls that there's some metal grating. And so where is the metal grating?
So the metal grating is basically a security measure. So where you see the illuminated portions at the garage on the back, on the alley side, instead of those being completely open where someone can step through it, there would be grating to protect those openings.
I'm sorry, I don't follow you.
Okay,
where is that?
So yeah, where you see the illumination coming from the building onto the alley, those three lit areas in the rendering.
Where the car is?
Yes, it does occur there. But if you look in the forefront of the photo where you see the couple of people walking, and the illumination coming from inside the building. If that's, I don't think I have a pointer, or do I? Oh, here we go. Yeah, so these elements that you see here.
Where?
Oh.
Oh, it's the on the poster. Is it not showing on our screen?
No.
Yeah,
oh,
so here.
Okay. Oh, you got the, okay. So those are actually metal grating? They're not like a solid panel?
So those are openings into the garage. And those, oh, yes, thank you. Yeah, so there's a pattern of openings along the alley. As Rick described, they're approximately 10 feet tall. And Rick, those are a little bit wider. Am I remembering correctly?
Yes, they're the inlay panels are 8 inches, and those, I believe, are 12 inches wide.
So these are openings in the concrete. If you were to look through there, you'd see the parking garage beyond. And there is a grating that is basically a security measure so that someone doesn't walk through the opening. So the light still floods through, but it's not the in. So the inlays are separate. Those are separate from the openings.
And where are the inlays?
So what we're looking at in this image is the previous design, and the response to the comments are in the current packet. Oops, there we go. So can I zoom in here as well? Is there a zoom function? Thank you. Okay. Oops. Oh. Oh boy. Okay, well, I can't quite zoom in to this, but if you look here along the alley facade, you see a combination. The darker elements are likely the openings. So the darker elements are the openings, and then the ones that have color are the inlay pattern.
Okay, so the inlay patterns, it's basically opaque, and I mean they're
Correct, yes.
basically fiber cement boards,
That's
right?
exactly correct, yes.
Okay, your metal railing, like is it like a decorative one, or does it look like just vertical bars, or
It
what?
is a grid pattern,
Okay.
and it's, if you don't mind me scrolling through again, I can find an image of that one in the previous packet. Oh, here we go. So it's items 14 in the thumbnail image.
Okay. And yeah, it's kind of hard to imagine what that looks like. With that, like, how big are those holes, and like the density of your metal, pattern or pieces. But anyway, moving on. So, ceramic panels. Your building has a variety of materials, and can you walk us through for each elevation, where are those ceramic materials? Where are the accent colors? And then, I think those are the two that I'm most interested in.
Rick, do you think it'd be helpful to do the 3D walkthrough and point through the materials?
Yeah, I could do that if we can share my screen here.
Can he have
Sure.
access to share his screen?
Okay. Are people able to see that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, this is the on the west side of the building. We're in the parking lot, municipal parking lot, and you can see the retail garage entry. This is public parking there, and on the upper part of the building, you can see the fiber cement panels that are variations in the gray shades, and then the blue is the accent panel that we've added. Take you around the building here if you can. It's a northwest corner, and you can see the Northwest Plaza. And then you can see these are the 8-inch wide blue accent panels, and the others are the gray field color.
And at the windows is where we have the textured panel, that the dark panel that you see on the material board with the texture, vertical texture, I'm sorry, horizontal texture to it.
Here you can see, actually, you should be able to see this, the light fixture that is suspended From the ceiling, you see the rectangular fixture there. Here we're going along Central Way. We've also added some color into the balcony recesses, that same blue color back further into the building. And there's the retail entry, residential entry to the left, and garage entry here. East corner. The whole building here.
Okay, great. So the your accent colors, didn't you have like a green also? Like you,
Yes.
so where does the green come in?
So in the blank wall, it's a little difficult to see in this. You can see there's the blue accent, and here's the green accent. We really wanted these to complement the rest of the palette of the building, and that while you can see color, we really wanted it to be subtle and not too overwhelming. You can see the white inlay panels on this side. And then back here a little bit. And so the idea is that you have Sorry, get used to this, but is that with this pattern that goes around the whole building, it becomes more pronounced on these blank walls where there's a bigger area without any glazing. So it gives us an opportunity to use the same design in a different way. And then as you turn the corner here in the alley, you can kind of see what we have on the alley. It's the same pattern of trying to kind of develop this rhythm where you see the panel, one's up and one's down, and then along the alley, there are light fixtures that sort of accentuate the pattern. So there's a light fixture below each opening, and then the next one, there's one above the opening.
So
Sorry.
how about the corrugated? I'm calling it corrugated, but it's this textured I think it's also ceramic that goes underneath the windows. Does it go on all sides or just certain facades?
Would be not all sides. I'm not sure in this. It doesn't show well in this model, but this panel would have horizontal grooves along it, so there's a texture, and it would recur all along the whole.
And do you mind showing on Central Way where that will be applied?
Here we are back on the west side again.
So basically, anything that looks like this brown color underneath the windows, right? That's all going to be
Right.
that same texture,
Yep.
ceramic material.
Yeah. I mean, it's
Okay, that's fine.
there.
Yeah, all right. And then as far as your weather protection, I just need some reminder. As far as your Central Way Plaza, I can't remember. I saw the weather protection over the retail. I can't remember if there's also one for the lobby, the residential lobby.
Yes, there's a larger one at the retail door entrance, and then a smaller one at the residential entrance.
Okay, thank you. And then the last thing I wanted to ask you guys, I don't know if you received the public comments. Certain items that were, that the public commented on, and if you don't mind, just I would like to hear how you've addressed the public comments. And I don't know if staff can help us by kind of listing what those are. I know we reviewed it earlier.
Yeah, I mean, I think the majority of the comments were positive from the last meeting, but there was questions regarding kind of the massing and the sloped roof that they were proposing. They thought that it should be a larger feature, but I think the applicant kind of went over the reasoning behind the size of it last time. Also, I'm trying to remember. Sorry, I'm gonna pull my presentation up here real quick.
Something about the alley.
Oh yes, so that was really regarding the stuff that I talked to you
Oh, the
about.
trash.
Yeah, so it's really from the neighbors to the north. I'm sorry, to the south, the business and property owners to the south, and the impacts to the alley deliveries and things like that that we're working through with them on. So.
Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like you probably already, just based on our questions, you probably already addressed them. So that's pretty much all I have. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
So before we start our discussion, I would like to invite the public. I believe someone signed up. Paul, let me just check. Paul Price. Please state your name and I believe that's all we need.
Hi, my name is Paul Price. I'm representing Park Lane Gallery at 130 Park Lane. You want an email address or something too?
I do have your email address here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm bringing the concern of Park Lane Gallery to this board and request that these concerns be part of the minutes of this meeting and the public record. In the days, weeks, months, and years ahead, I want there to be transparency that these concerns were brought to the board well in advance of the completion of this project. It is important that there is a public record of this board's decision to either support or ignore these concerns. The alley behind Park Lane Gallery and the adjoining businesses needs to be open and wider for the safety of all the pedestrians. The alley behind the Park Lane Gallery and adjoining businesses needs to be open for ease of access for emergency vehicles, such as fire engine crews and emergency medical crews. The alley behind the Park Lane Gallery and adjoining businesses needs to be open and wider for ease of access for deliveries and pickups for these businesses to operate effectively and efficiently. In the alley behind Park Lane Gallery and the adjoining businesses needs to be maintained open without impediment by the construction vehicles at all times. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Do you have anybody else in the audience, either online or yes, please come to the mic and provide us with your name and in this case, because you didn't sign up, if we can have an address.
My name is Lisa Berenson. I live in Kirkland. I have attended at least three of these design review board meetings, and I have to say that this firm has done everything possible to address everybody's concerns. They've addressed access to the alley for emergency, for fire trucks. They've addressed everything that you have asked for. And I feel like a lot of this meeting and comments and questions were redundant from the prior design review meeting. This building design, as is, needs to be approved today to move forward. Period.
Thank you very much. Anyone else? Do we have anyone online? Please raise your hand if you wish to speak. Okay, doesn't look like there's anyone else. So now we can move on to our deliberation. Just a reminder for the Design Review Board, it would be good to hear your thoughts and determination on how this project, addresses some of the staff, staff comments and requests for design review board review of the Northwest Plaza design. The plaza plans that includes the landscaping, the seating, the paving, and the planting palette, the overhead protection, even though we didn't talk too much about that since we reviewed that last time, the exterior accent colors, the blank wall treatment, and the lobby and trash collection plan. Does anybody want to start? Carlos?
I can do that.
Okay, go ahead.
So I think that tonight the applicant went over several of these items. For the material selection and the new colors that were introduced, I think that it was an effective way in breaking up the scale, and I think it'll bring more interest. Regarding the alley blank wall treatment, I feel that the proposed strategy that the applicant presented tonight, it's a little bit shy. I would have expected a little bit more use of different materials or colors in order to reduce the blank wall areas. If you compare the concrete area versus the lines with colors, I think that the concrete blank wall prevails. Plans and sections for overhead water protection, it seems that the applicant is meeting the guidelines and is providing water protection at the front of the building. And the last item is regarding the design plaza. So during the last meeting, the board requested the applicant to provide detailed plans for the central plaza and the northwest plaza, including sidewalk treatments, landscaping, seating and paving materials. I believe that what we saw today, it's a site plan with a lot of nice materials, but the planting selections were not provided as a plan, as a landscaping plan. And previous projects that the DRB has reviewed, the landscaping plans are truly landscaping plans and not site plans with notes. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see that information. I just want to remind everyone that the landscaping plan is part of the DRB's approval, and it should be considered. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Shannon?
Yeah, thank you so much.
I do also believe that much of what we've remarked on in the past has been addressed. Thank you so much for that. It's nice to see, you know, the plaza design coming to the ground level, I think is really successful. And the new layout with increased seating, I'm sure, you know, the actual use might adjust that, but I think there's ample seating provided for a public plaza at this point. I actually think the blank wall treatment was successful. The introduction of color and the cadence at which that was shown for me addresses our concern. And I think my only concern, and I would say that, you know, lightly, is the evergreen planting in the landscape. I think it would be really nice to see that addressed, just given, you know, we're in a downtown location, having that break up and kind of create a little more ambiance throughout the year on that plaza would be nice. It is covered. We might not have as much traffic there during the winter, but I think that could be a nice detail to consider, given the time and energy around the landscaping that you have already spent. Otherwise, I feel like the overhead weather protection was addressed, exterior accent colors were addressed, and yeah, I'm comfortable with the rest. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Shannon. Randall?
Sure. I'll just try and go down the list here. I, as presented by the applicant, I support the blank wall aspects, the alley wall and the east wall. You know, the east wall we may have to put up with for till the next development cycle or something of that sort. But the alley wall, when you really look at this with a textured concrete and then you've got the slots into it at night, it's going to be very pleasant. It's going to actually give security lighting into the alley, which is helpful and that. And I think I think it works extremely well. So I would support what the applicant has presented here. Pedestrian orientation, plazas, trash collection, where the trash collection is really just that one roll-up door. And after, you know, this past week I followed a garbage truck around downtown, driving on up and down alleys. to see how they do it. And yes, it's kind of noisy, but very efficient, very quick. And this particular project, I would not anticipate any garbage cans or garbage containers setting out in the alley. I'm not sure what the agreement will be with the vendor, if they have to, when the garbage trucks pull up, if they pull it out, dump it and push it back in, or a site management takes care of that. So there may be just a little bit of time period there during the week and how many times that pickup is. So I don't see any problems with that. The open space landscaping, there's minimal landscaping here. The street trees are pretty much predicated by the city of picking those trees out of that particular aspect. And the rest of the landscaping, you've presented a variety of product to be put into place. And I look at that and would defer to the landscape architect and the architects to finalize that plan. Materials and colors, really like it. And I think it does very well. And it really is kind of an understated aspect of the project, is it's not brilliant bright colors, but it's very, very pleasant. And I like what you've added in the accent colors and this type of thing. The residential lobby, the requirements, design guideline requirements, is really to downplay that residential lobby. And you've done that. And I support with what you're doing there. The upper story setback and the front plaza area, I see that as, in my review and looking at this, that does meet Kirkland Code and meets that requirement. And so would have no problem with approving that setback and moving forward with that. sidewalks, public works issue, and then we get to overhead weather protection. That is one area that I do have some comments on that I would like to expand on a little bit, is that the applicant is providing a cover out in front of the building, and from the front of the building, it's 7 feet. But when you go to like page 7, let me get this here. Where's page 7? Okay. If you look at the requirement, and you know, the applicant shall provide pedestrian overhead weather protection. Okay. It's the pedestrian weather protection. And so the overhead weather protection may be composed of awnings, marquees, canopies, et cetera. And this overhead weather protection must cover at least 5 feet of the width of the adjoining walkway. And then it talks about it must be 8 feet tall. A 30-inch wide or round planter with landscape in it encroaches into that 5 feet. And so what I want to do is, bear with me a second here. I'll take you a little bit of a walk around downtown Kirkland. If you go over to Kirkland Center, and we've got the Chase Bank, and we've got Kirkland Bakery, the Sip and Paint or Paint and Sip, and variety of other things there. We've got a 5 foot canopy that comes out, and we got a 3 foot, 6 inch round planter. Now, as you go to your car tonight, pay attention to how you walk to that car. You walk in a straight line, or if you shift directions, you geometrically shift on an angle. You don't necessarily walk in circles or round patterns. And so as you're walking down this sidewalk here and you've got chairs or tables or you've got planters, you're going to have to zigzag around. And so as we come around on some other buildings in downtown, I've got to say the design review board has probably failed in this respect, is that as in you come to the Mosaic facility, there's no planters. I think there may be one or two small ones, but there's no planters in front of it. You come down to the terrace, the Vola Terrace, or what I'm not, they all start with V, so we'll just say V number 3. There's really no planters or anything of that sort. Then you come around to the Vila project that's on Washington Boulevard, and we've got a narrow sidewalk there to begin with. We got a 5 foot awning, but then we've got 18 inches to 2 foot of planters that are hiding the building structure. And then we've got street trees. Okay, take two people side by side walking down the sidewalk. There's number one, there's barely enough room for that. And number two, one person's out in the rain if it's raining. And as you come up and you continue your walk around downtown, you're going to find a very eclectic collection of furniture and A-boards and different things like that. But when you look at the new projects that have gone in that really are the marker for this project, then you get up to VODA. And they do a lot of work with planners and different things, and they've got their covers that come out. And a couple of the covers cover landscaping, period. I'm not quite sure why you want to cover landscaping. I'd assume that you'd want it to be watered. But towards the east end of the VODA project, as I was out looking at this last Wednesday, it was raining. And an elderly gentleman was walking along the VODA frontage with a cane and his baseball cap pulled down over his head, pulled down. And he was walking right in the drip line edge of the canopy, and half of him was out in the rain and the other half was under the canopy because he was dodging the planters and the plants. And so as I look at this code requirement, I look at your plan right now, you've got 30 inch diameter planters that are going to be 3, 4, 6 inches away from the wall. And so you're eating into that 5 feet. Yeah, you're giving us 7 feet. But once you start eating into that 5 feet, these covers become covered patios. They don't become covered walkways. And it rains in Kirkland. And so I'm just, as I take you around and you look at those other projects and look at that as a baseline, I, you know, in your drawings or in your plan, you don't show the 30 inch round deal, but you do show another planter that's what, about 18 by 18 at the top. That's probably what you need there. Now, from a design point of view, is the proportions correct? I don't know. I'll leave that to you for that small of a planner. But my recommendation to the board is that needs to change in the front of either no planters and leave an unrestricted 5 foot wide pathway that is covered, which is really what the code or the design guidelines are instructing you to do. So I thank you for bearing with me on that. It's kind of a roundabout way to get to that, to get to this. But as you look at other projects and other sites, you can see this thing happening. And it's just, you know, the key to it is it just rains here. And when an elderly gentleman is having a hard time walking with a cane and getting dripped on, we can do better. Last, I'd like to, as far as addressing gentleman's comments in regards to the alley, the purview of this committee does not deal with we deal with offsite access and everything to the project, but as far as construction and emergency vehicles, that would be right away use situation. It would be the engineering department as to how they would handle that. This project is already set back, what is it, I believe 2 feet from the property line, where they actually have a zero lot line ability to build, but they've already moved back 2 feet to widen the alley. And so they've given some. And so someday when the south side of the alley or Park Lane redevelops or something happens in there, we'll start to see some changes there. So I'd like to address your comments, but I think there's some of these that are out of our purview. So please don't be offended if we don't address those and that. And so that pretty much wraps up my comments.
Well, thank you, Randall. Actually, I was going to ask you about the alley since you said that you went around and following trash trucks. So based on just your observation, right? When I look at the site plan, we are all very concerned, obviously, even after the first meeting, that this alley shared by multiple businesses just based on the site plan, there's nothing to give me pause and think that they're going to privatize it and that this will end up, you know, being blocked. Yeah. So I just wanted to see what you thought just from what you've observed out there.
Oh, I know that this will be a public alley. And if you go down to between where I think it's Bank of America and in the Vila project and look at that alley that goes up to Merrill Gardens, that's an alley, a very nice alley when you really get down to it, other than the Vila project has a hard time getting their trash containers back into the building, in my observation. And then you go up and you look at the alley between the Heathman Hotel and Voda. You got Heathman Motel has got a very nice brick motif on the alley and very pleasant. And that's where I got stuck behind a garbage truck. And so I had to watch him. But they pulled up, pulled a container out, dumped it out of Voda, pushed it back in, and didn't pull the door shut, but pushed it back in, pulled forward, did the same thing for Heathman, pushed it back in, and went on down the street. And so after the pickup was done, there was no containers in the alley. It was as clean as it should be and very drivable. And so I think that appears to be something that's just worked out with the garbage collection firm. And you may have to pay a little bit more for them to push it out, push it in or whatever, but it works very well. And I see this over time, this alley is going to really move itself to that type of situation because we will have four story buildings on all sides. And that's why I look at the canopy and look at this building as a cornerstone or an anchor project to the redevelopment of the north side of Park Lane. And there's almost a two square block area here that even transfers east that this project will carry on. And so I, as this one resident pointed out, I fully recommend that we move forward and do a project.
Thank you, Supriya.
I'm just going to go down the page here. With regards to the Northwest Plaza design, I think the team really did a good job with addressing our comments and removing the ramp and looking at that luminaire and how it works with that space. So I'm really happy with that. With regards to the plaza landscaping plans, I agree with your comment about having some sort of permanent seating in that residential entry. I think that's a good point. For the overhead weather protection, I think I'm okay with the canopy that they've shown. I mean, if we're concerned about plantings, there's seating currently shown there along that whole facade. So having individual planters is not going to be the main issue there. There's going to be, if there's seating there, that's probably going to be the main concern. With regards to the accent colors, I'm actually quite happy with what they've come up with. It's a fun idea, subtle, but I think it's done very nicely. So that was one of my comments from last time about the accent colors. So I think they've addressed that very well. The blank wall treatment, I mean, this is the alley side. So, you know, breaking that up with the colors and yes, they could have done different materials, but because it's the alley, not so much the main street, I'm okay with the way they've addressed it and try to have some fun with it as well with the brighter colors on that side. With regards to the lobby and trash collection plans and some of the concerns about the fire truck getting in there, I'm thinking that some of those are going to be addressed in the building permit with the fire department. So I don't think that we're going to be commenting on that. So that's kind of my overall, I think they've addressed the comments we had from last time. I'm actually quite happy with it.
Thank you. Amanda?
Hi, I can't actually think of anything that hasn't already been addressed. I do agree with Randall about the rain situation though.
Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, I actually agree with Randall too about the weather protection, but I'm also taking into consideration what Supriya said because technically the way they've designed that plaza, it is basically a covered patio with movable chairs, and it's really not for the pedestrian at this point, right? And so, you know, I mean, I don't know if this warrants, you know, I mean, Carlos, do you have any thoughts? I know this, you know, something that this kind of evolved after Randall said this, but it seems like we do
we all have, Go ahead, Randall.
As far as the plaza at the entry of the either the cafe or the entry into the residential, I have no problem with that. It's really the longer strip in front of the retail that really is where I have the problem.
Well, and also, if you saw their site plan, they are providing, they also showed chairs and tables there. So.
Well, it's the same thing, but when the code, so when the design guidelines say 5 feet of pedestrian walkway, I guess that's what we're working with.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Carlos, maybe?
I guess the question is going to be whether that meets the design guidelines or not.
Yeah.
Can we offer, it sounds to me like if that was modified such that there's, let's say, like a built-in bench that is, intermittently interrupted, let's say, with a built-in planter at the same depth, then we would be providing a little more space for that covered pedestrian and still getting some seating and landscaping. Maybe something like that could be considered to touch all of those points and still increase the covered pedestrian pathway.
Mm-hmm. That's a good option. I mean, the guidelines state that it needs to be a 5 foot covered area, and the applicant is providing a 7-1, so 2 feet could be appropriate to provide seating. And I guess that just the only comment that I have is that for these covered plazas right now, number 4 says tenant furniture zone. So just wondering if that's an area that is going to be intended for tenants or if it's going to be truly for pedestrian pathways.
Yeah. Well, I also think that, I mean, there's two options here, right? Either they change the type of furniture or they increase the depth of the weather protection. And at this point, I'm not sure if their weather protection is already at the edge of their right of the property line. I'm not sure, and if there's any opportunity to do that.
So I guess the first question is for staff: can overhead weather protection encroach into the public right of way? And if so, how many feet can they encroach into that?
I think there's just a minimum requirement. My assumption is there's probably has to also do with something with the building code. And I think there actually may be something from a public works.
Or a right-of-way
clearance. For a right-of-way. I'm not exactly sure on that. But there are... our code just basically says here's the minimum,
right.
Minimum requirement. I understand Randall's concerns too. And, we do see, like you see it along Park Lane. I mean, we have these sidewalk cafe areas,
yeah.
That we've permitted to encroach into the covered areas. There is kind of it really maybe comes down to more of a kind of a public policy kind of question of the use of sidewalks and how we look at that. So that may be beyond beyond our scope here today, but.
Got it. So it seems that the applicant has alternatives to address this DRB comment regarding covered areas with overhead protection.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like to reiterate in my point, part of our process for approval is approving a landscape plan, which includes all these items. I think at this point, I feel that it needs to be revised. To incorporate this and also to provide detailed information about other items such as landscaping. I mean, this area is really small, but that doesn't mean that it's exempt of the requirement of providing landscaping plans through landscaping plans.
Okay,
There is one thing that we could do. We could condition it that they submit a final landscape plan prior to or as part of their building permit application. I think the one key element would be looking at their palette and kind of seeing if you think this is a good palette or if they need to add some things. I did hear Shannon mention she'd like to see some more evergreen plantings within those areas, things like that. So that is something that we could condition, you know, if you're in agreement with kind of their general palette, or you want to supplement that. So,
DRB, I think would that also be included with the seating along?
Right. Yeah, and I haven't made my comments yet.
Sorry.
That pertains to the
light. I guess you can go first and
yeah. So I think that I don't know how the rest of the DRB feels about it, but I think that they should provide at least one bike rack. I look at the plaza. They're both very small plazas, right? And the standard says that the idea is to activate the pedestrian realm, and how do you activate the pedestrian realm, and what type of programmings can you put in two small plazas? And I think that the more variety we have, which means like using it for bike parking is one other way to use that space, using it as, in more ways than one, right? Not just for the tenants. And then
I'm sorry. I just want to interject something real quick. I wanted to let you know. So there is a requirement in the code that basically says bicycle parking in the form of a bike rack or enclosed storage container shall conveniently be located for users generally within 50 feet of an exterior entrance to all uses and with 50 feet of a retail use entrance. So there is a code requirement for bike racks. So that's something that staff we'll review as part of the building permit application to ensure that those are included with.
Okay. Yeah. So just to be clear, a lot of times applicants would submit, would have bike storage, but that's only for their residents. I'm most interested in a bike rack that could be used by obviously anyone.
Yeah. And that's what that would require. Okay. It says within 50 feet of a retail use entrance or a residential entrance.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not particular with the location as long as it's provided. And then the other thing that, I just thought this is a missed opportunity and take it for what it's worth. But the pavement pattern that they're proposing, I thought that, you have a very interesting facade with that, the vertical panels and the staccato rhythm of the, the colored blue, the blue panels. It seems like it would be more cohesive if even the same pattern is used for the plaza, so that you distinguish it enough from the sidewalk that this is a special area, but also it ties much better with the facade geometry. So that's just a thought. Overall, I think that the building elevations, the articulation, the materials, not only created a human scale for the buildings, definitely the step back helped the outdoor terraces and green roofs also provided a lot of positive amenities for the residents and obviously even for future neighbors who, if in case there's a neighbor next door that's, that builds something higher than four stories, to be able to see down and see a green roof is definitely much more pleasant than just a plain white roof. As far as with the blank wall treatment, I also concur with the rest of the design review board. I think that Overall, it is an acceptable treatment. I understand the idea of why, you know, Carlos, you mentioned about, you know, there's too much concrete. And I can see that, but at the same time, because of the part of the building being more traversed by vehicles and it's a lower level of pedestrian use, then I'm okay with that. And then as far as the colors, I really welcome the blue and the green. It's still in a more subdued tone, but I'm just glad that we're not having to approve another monotonous gray building in all shades of gray. I think that the beige color also complements the grays and adds warmth, while at the same time, again, not being too, you know, distinct from the color palette. In terms of the Northwest Plaza design with the ramp removal, I also agree that what they're proposing is better. And just to go back to the application of the accent colors, I'm very happy that they also made sure to apply the same rectangular panels and the blue accent in that plaza area and not just, you know, on the exterior part of the building. The in terms of the again, yeah, with the seating, I still feel that there should be at least some sort of a permanent seating or some sort of seating, you know, next to the residential lobby. And I understand that it's a small area, but if there's a way maybe to incorporate it into the planter, I've seen examples where you know, applicants, you know, basically installed more like a wooden seat on top of a planter, and maybe that, if that's something that they can do. And then as far as the residential lobby, I think it's very successful. I applaud the applicant for providing the, you know, the two-story, very open, very dramatic, and actually it's the retail space next to it, is that there's that metal accent to it. And then with the lobby still having a very open, transparent and welcoming lobby area. So those are my comments. So as far as for tonight, does the board feel like we're ready to approve this project?
I think that we can suggest for approval with the condition that the applicant provides a detailed landscaping plan, including all the elements that we commented on tonight. I'm not a landscape consultant to determine if evergreens are going to be successful, but that can be a comment for the applicant just to determine and make a determination based on their assessment, if that can be included or not, if the plant is going to be successful. And also to include the overhead weather protection clear area for pedestrians of 5 feet minimum. I guess that if the applicant wants to propose a planter, you would need to ensure that the 5 feet minimum that the what is this, that the standard list, the development standards list specifies is met, basically to ensure just that the 5 feet is 5 feet clear is provided.
Mm-hmm. And as far as, because we're not really concerned about the proposed design of the weather protection, so we can technically approve it with the condition that that there's a 5 foot clearance provided for pedestrians. Okay, all right, and then Anything else for conditions? Okay, sounds like so we've got two, right? Does someone want to make a motion with those two conditions?
I make a motion to approve with those two conditions.
Okay. And does anyone want to?
Is that content?
Okay, great. So, staff, are you guys clear on the conditions? Or do we need to articulate them?
Sorry.
Yeah. I would just say I'll defer to the applicant. Did you have any questions on the conditions or? Okay.
Yeah, and it's pretty clear to me. I'll work with Amy on drafting the final approval memo and making sure that we've clearly articulated your conditions. So
we'd appreciate that. All right. So we can do the roll call.
Randall Brandt.
Approve.
Amanda Birdlow.
Approve.
Carlos Castaneda.
Approve.
Supriya Kilkar.
Approve.
Shannon Merkel.
Approve.
Amy Tarse.
Approve.
Passes 6-0.
Thank you. Thank you to the applicant and your design team for your presentation and for staying with us tonight. So next item on the agenda is administrative reports. I believe staff has something for us.
Yeah. So I just wanted to update the board on the, so as you, some of you may have heard, the state passed what is known as House Bill 1293. And that House bill relates to streamlining the design review process. And so the bill requires that the city apply only clear and objective regulations to the exterior design and new development, that design review process be conducted concurrently with review and decision process for project permits, and the design review process may not include more than one public meeting. So we are in the process of, so we have interviewed consultants to help us with compliance with this House bill. So we've selected a consultant and we're currently working on a contract to get them on board. And we expect to set up meetings that would include some members of the design review board as part of that process to kind of get your takes on things and run things by you as we go through this process. Include you in this process. And, again, we're not real sure how this is going to all shake out. Some different cities have approached this in different ways. I did check with Redmond, and it sounds like they are going to more of an administrative design review where they send out their projects actually to consultants to do a peer review of it. Some cities are just doing strictly administrative design review through their staff, but that's part of this process. So I wanted to kind of just update you guys on that because I heard a rumor that's somebody said that's they thought our design review board was going away on January 1st, and I said no, that's not happening. So I just kind of wanted to update you guys on that process, and we will keep you in the loop as we move through this process, and hopefully involve most of you in it as we go forward. So,
Tony, when is the deadline that the state gave?
Yeah, so the deadline is, I think it's
6 months after adoption of our comp plan.
Yeah.
So we're looking probably at June.
June or June, yeah. So we're looking to adopt our comp plan probably next month. So, yeah, it would be more likely sometime in June that we need to have be in compliance. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update.
Yeah.
Members, do you have anything else that you wish to discuss? No? And well, in that case, I think.
Hey, Amy, I guess that we just have one. Well, I have just one item. Is the staff going to make a poll for attendance for December and January?
Let's see. I think in December, I don't know that we have any agenda items. So we'll most likely not have any meetings in December. We have a couple applicants that were waiting for applications for their design response conference. We're probably looking at, if they submit, let's say, end of November, December, we're probably looking at January, February for our next meeting.
Okay.
And we'll reach out at that point.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carlos. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so I believe we're ready to adjourn. Does someone want to make that motion?
I make a motion that we adjourn.
And do we have anyone to
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. With that, we are adjourning the DRB meeting for tonight. Thank you, everyone.
Amy, do you need to call the yes, A's or nays?
Do we need to vote for this one too? Okay. Thank you. I guess we have to do a roll call again.
No, it's just everyone in favor say aye.
Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.